Oh, well, this Sunday is about love. We're using the Advent guide that comes from Unity. And this Sunday is love. And I've always loved talking about love. How's that for synchronicity? Love is the essential energetic power of the universe. We tend to think of love, particularly in this season, as a Hallmark card or a Hallmark movie, where they have a challenge and then they get through it, and then they have another challenge and they get through it, and then it's all over because there's one more giant challenge, and then they get through it and it all ends up happy. And they wrap it all up with a bow. That's one expression of love. Can't you think of times in your life where it's felt like that? Where amazing things have happened. But there are other times love is a more tender, challenging journey. It's the tenderness that welcomes a newborn baby into the family, like Mary and Joseph did with the baby. But it's also the tenderness with which we return souls back to the spirit from whence they came. It's harder to do that one. But it's this incredible blessing to realize the eternality of the soul and the eternality of love. Love is the greatest power in the universe. It's the greatest commandment. If you do nothing else, Jesus says, love, and then everything else will fall into place. It's that peace that passes all understanding. It's the love is the wisdom that can guide you when your ego self might take you a bit astray. Jean Houston calls it evolutionary energy par excellence. Love is what calls us out of ourselves and into the lives of others and into our world. Love is what lets us go from who we were to who we yet can be. It's the people that we love, that we connect with, that we grow with, that we learn from, that we share with. That love is what truly transforms us and transforms our world. Charles Fillmore called it the harmonizing power of the universe. And I love that. It's harmonizing. It's not saying everybody has to play the same note and be the same. It's taking that diversity and letting each be such a clear expression of who they are that you can create music and harmony out of it rather than discord. And we all know, I've talked before about listening to a symphony warm up. That disharmony is they're all just doing their own parts and not paying any attention to each other. But then when the conductor gets them centered and signals, amazing sounds come out of that cacophony and it becomes beautiful because they're moving of one accord. So love is the one thing that can change everything. Emmett Fox says, if you have enough love, you will be happy and powerful enough to change the world. It's love that changes everything. Mary and Joseph and the baby are the classic symbol of love. The love that Mary and Joseph had for one another and had for the child that came from their union. And personally, I love the fact that Joseph is not the biological father, but is the earthly father in spirit that cares for, protects, and walks with the child. It's a reminder that family, from that ancient time to now, family is not just biological. It's spiritual, it's choice, it's caring. Who do you choose to have be part of your family? I know I have people in my life who aren't biologically connected to me, but who are my children completely 100%. I have friends that are family, that are my soul brothers and sisters. You all are my family. We're each other's family. And so this co-creative energy of Mary and Joseph creating this child is part of us living and being present in the world and co-creating ourselves. Mary's mantra comes from the Magnificat, the beautiful piece that's found in the Gospel of Luke when Gabriel comes and tells her she's going to have a child. And it's like, say what? Can you imagine standing in your kitchen here in Port Townsend and an angel appears and says, guess what? You're going to have a child. The miraculous breaking through into the mundane of her kitchen. Spirit can do that for all of us. The miraculous can appear and meet us right where we are in the most ordinary as well as in the most extraordinary of circumstances. Her mantra is, my soul magnifies the Lord. Because once she really gets it and says, yes, I'll do it, it says, let my soul magnify the Lord. Let me take this miraculous spiritual love and magnify it out and share it with the world, which is exactly what she did. She shared it with her own child through his entire life. She was the one who was there from the birth all the way through his death and ascension with him as the presence of love. Joseph's mantra comes from when he's talked to by the angels in dreams and says, take Mary as your wife, raise this child as your own. And I'm sure he woke up in the morning going, whoa, was that a weird dream? Where did that come from? But he listened. And so his mantra is, heed the call. When the call comes to you, be willing to say yes. I remember one of the things that Sharon Meddy says, that when she asks people if they'll help, she always asks three times because you're only allowed to say no twice. So will you do this? No. Will you do this? No way. Third time, will you do this? Yes. Yes, heeding the call. That happened to me in my call for ministerial school. The first time it came, I was like, are you kidding me? I can't be a minister. No way. And then it came again. And I was like, no, I enjoy life too much. I'm from Texas, where these fundamentalist ministers told everybody that God was scary and awful and judging you, and you weren't supposed to dance or do music or play cards. And luckily, I never went to those, but it was the milieu in which I grew up. And it was like, oh, if I'm going to be a minister, I'm going to have to be very serious and pious and not have too much fun anymore. And then Spirit said, are you kidding me? What's wrong with this picture? If you're connected with the divine, you should be full of love and joy and peace. You should have fun. And so it was the third time, Easter Sunday, at the Black church in Kansas City, that a man who became one of my instructors did the Easter service, and my dad came to me during the meditation, and I said, well, I'm thinking about applying. And he said, honey, fly. It's your turn. Fly. Do it. No. Yes. Not an unusual pattern. But our daily word today reminded us that love is not only a noun, it's also a verb. And so it's recognizing the oneness But then it's responding to the call to action of what are you going to do with it? So just remember that whether you like it or not, you can say no twice, but the third time the universe will knock on your door again, and you will find some tiny part of your heart responding with a yes, and it will grow over time. Because love calls us to be more who we've been sent to be. Each one of us is a unique soul. We tend to compare each other, but there is each one of us is unique. It's a unique spark of the divine. And so we each get to do and be the note in the music of the universe that is uniquely ours. In the Advent reading for today, talked about the power of music. And she shared about the wonderful Christmas truce that took place during World War I. And I've spoken about it different Christmases. And I've always loved that story. And she talked about how important music is for her always, but particularly during the Christmas season. And I think that's so true. Music is something that is a common language that transcends words. And it's shared humanity. There have been some of the things on the internet that I've loved, where there's a particular song, and then people all over the world record a line of it, and then they hook them all together. And you've got these images of people literally all over the world singing the same song with a message of love and hope. Do you remember the Coke ad in the late 60s, early 70s, when the country was in tremendous turmoil and polarized? I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. Remember that? We all knew it. We sang it. And I remember loving the commercial because there were people from all over the world in it. That song was a call to unite during a time of great difficulty. I'll never forget hearing on the night of 9/11, the concert that spontaneously arose that night. And I think it was Neil Young that sat at the piano, simple hymn with the piano, and played and sang Imagine. I sang along at home and wept. That song, Imagine, is one of those that went viral with people all over the world singing lines that I saw. Go on YouTube and look for Imagine, the world singing of Imagine. It was all these voices harmonizing and coming together. Well, there was a wonderful story that I mentioned a moment ago, the Christmas truce. It took place in 1914 in Ypres, Belgium. It was on Christmas Eve, the midst of World War I. There were Germans over here. There were Brits over here on either side of what they called no man's land. That when you cross that, that was where the battle was. That's where everyone was killed. They were on either sides. And suddenly, the Brits looked across and they started seeing lights over there. And normally, if you're in battle and you're across from the enemy, you don't want to turn on your lights. They were literally hiding in trenches, but they lit candles and matches and they held up lights and they were lighting candles on a tree. And then the Brits began to hear something come across no man's land. And it was the sound of the Germans singing Silent Night in German, in their native language. And it came across and met the Brits where they were, down in their trenches. And so they lit lights and they sang back in English. And in the midst of no man's land, the two languages harmonized, singing the song Silent Night, which is a call to embodying the Christ child and love and peace in the midst of this horrific war. And so at dawn, they sang other carols during the night, but Silent Night is the famous one that started it all. A few of the German soldiers stuck their heads out and they crawled out of their trenches and walked into no man's land. The Brits did the same thing. They ended up, the truce spread down the line as people were courageous enough to step up and to step into this place of shared harmony and peace and celebration of the birth of the Christ child. From different sides of the war, different culture, different languages, it went down the trenches. And before you knew it, they were all out there. They shared their food. They played a game of soccer, apparently appropriately called football, I have learned. They spent that whole day celebrating together. They chatted, they showed each other pictures of their families. And they realized several of them had people that they knew in common, even though they were on opposite sides of the war. Two people there for sure had experiences of, oh, I know that person, that's your uncle? It showed how interwoven we always are. And so at the end of the day, they went back their separate ways. They gathered their weapons and they went off. They did not fight anymore together on that battlefield. By New Year's, a full truce had been established. And in 2014, it was the 100th year celebration of it. And I saw on the morning show, CBS morning show, they held a celebration at that spot where this took place. And a British woman and a German man whose ancestors were part of that moment participated together in the service and embraced as they celebrated the miracle of the Christmas truce and all it represented. A beautiful moment of realizing that we have far more in common than we have different. We tend to focus on the differences when we actually have far, far more in common. And as I was working on this, I found myself remembering a moment where Jesus was on a field and called forth an invitation of love. Like the singing of Silent Night, and it was the feeding of the 5,000. All these people had gathered in this field to experience Jesus's teachings and to hear him. And the disciples came and said, we need to send everybody back into town. We don't have any food for dinner. There was no Domino's pizza to call. Send them back into town. Tell them to come back tomorrow. And Jesus said, no, they've come for spiritual food. Will not send them away because of a lack of outer food. The disciples are going, well, then what are you going to do? Well, he invited them to step out in love. What he did was he gathered up the loaves and the fishes that he had. And the first thing he did was he blessed them. I love that. He gathered up what people had and were willing to share. And it was very little, but instead of going, oh my gosh, that's not enough, he said, thank you, and yes. And he lifted it up and he blessed it. And then he took the basket and they passed it through all of the people again. Well, the traditional interpretation of that is that he did a miracle with the loaves and the fishes, and he physically manifests more bread and more fish for everybody. I can't quite imagine how big the basket would have had to be for that much fish and that much bread, even several baskets. But do I believe that's possible? Absolutely. I think he was so connected to the flow of spirit that he could take the rigid physical form that's like ice and turn it into flow of water, bring in the presence of spirit like steam and transform it, and then send it back out in a new form. I believe he could do that, but I think he did something even more important than that. They were there for spiritual food most of all. I think what he did was like the truce. He said, let's have a truce here. People didn't trust each other. They all had food and money and all hidden in their cloaks and in their shoes because they were all afraid. Remember, it's a choice between fear or love. They were afraid there wouldn't be enough. So they all held on to what they had. But as the basket went around, he invited them to become conscious that they were all one, that they had more in common than they had different, that the child that was sitting over here was worthy of the bread they had hidden in their cloaks. And I believe the greatest miracle of all was that he called them into doing that living action of love, that Silent Night called the soldiers to, that we're called to this day. And so he welcomed it, he blessed it, and then he invited them to be part of it. And they did. The baskets were passed. Everyone had plenty to eat. And to me, the greatest miracle was he invited them to have faith, to be in a place of peace, and to love one another with such power that they would share all that they had, all that they were, all that they ever would have, like we pray each Sunday. So it's about love is not just a romantic thing. It's not just a quiet and peaceful thing. It's not a wild, passionate thing on the dance floor. It's all of those. But most of all, love is what invites us into life, into relationship, into a communion with one another, with our world, and with spirit. I don't think there's anything more important than that. Recognize the oneness that love calls us to, that harmonizing energy of the universe, and then play your instrument. St. Francis, let me be an instrument of your peace. Let us all be instruments of that divine, where we let ourselves do the things, say the things, be the things that will express love in action visible to one another. I've always loved the practice of random acts of kindness. This is a perfect season to do random acts of kindness. Call someone, send someone a card, spend some time in prayer for someone. Listen to music and let it open your heart. Go walk at North Beach in the midst of the beauty of nature and let it enliven you at a level of embodiment and manifested love. So love is the most important of all. It's the greatest commandment. It is the essence of the divine, but it's also the essence of us when we have the courage to live. Catherine de Hoogh Doherty put it this way: we are called to incarnate Christ in our lives, to clothe our lives with him so that people can see him in us, touch him in us, recognize him in us. Let us let love call us forward and let us enjoy this season of love and light with hearts overflowing with gratitude and with grace. Let us pray. Sweet, sweet Spirit, abiding presence of the divine. Oh, we go forth blessed in blessing, willing to give and receive love in new, amazing, and wondrous ways that break through our mundane with the miraculous, that remind us how blessed we are to be embodied in the world here and now, for and with one another. As a closing blessing, a wonderful piece that I rediscovered yesterday that came from Robert Farrell's Wellspring column, his Wellspring column on December the 7th, 2020. May the light of a thousand suns shine through. Live the life of grace you were meant to. Carry the light of God's love into the world. Be the open heart the earth longs for. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your willingness. Thank you for allowing us all to walk side by side as together we co-create a world that works for all. And so it is. Om, amen, and blessed be.